From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
By the time I finished fall cleanup in November, a few essential pieces of garden equipment were looking worse for wear, like that tarp I've been dragging around over a couple of seasons loaded with debris that suddenly looks more like lace than a tarp ought to. Whether for ourselves or as gifts for gardening friends, my friend Ken Drews is here today to talk about essential garden gear, what we use and what we love, and also to give us a sneak peek about some of the promises we made to ourselves as we put the garden to bed, sort of what we'll do differently next year. But first, this message.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Here via a Skype-to-Skype hookup this week to talk about must garden tools and also some early garden resolutions is garden writer Ken Drews, author most recently of The Sensual Garden, a big, beautiful book about fragrant plants. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Margaret.
You sound so different.
I'm always Skype, but we're Skype to Skype this time. It's like kissing a distance.
Yeah, 21st century and all that. So Ken, besides your book, or should I say book since you've published 20 of them, besides The Sensual Garden, I'm looking for some gift suggestions and also really, frankly, always to kind of upgrade. As I gave that sort of tarp example, you know, there's always something that's no longer working or we break it or whatever, or we just need to do better. So what are you kind of zeroing in on?
You know, when you brought up the subject, I thought, what am I going to talk about? And already I have like 12 ideas. And I've bought two copies of your books, of your latest book, A Way to Garden, already to give for holiday gifts.
Oh.
But if I may say something about tarps, blue tarps are for boats only.
Correct. And, you know, it's so funny because there's nothing more horrible than surveying a beautiful vista in the landscape, either in one's garden or driving along the roadside and saying, oh, look at that beautiful. And then there's this tarp. This blue tarp, and it's not even a natural blue, that blue, is it?
I was going to say fluorescent, but it's indescribable.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, one of the things, and I learned this the hard way, I ran out, I don't know, a couple years ago to get a tarp, and I have a particular size for a particular task, and I didn't check carefully, you know, on the labels, and the mill thickness, you know, the thousandth of inch thickness is, it's really important because if you want one that's not going to get destroyed, and after all, we don't want to put plastic, which is essentially, you know, these are polyethylene, into the landscape, you know, throw it away. You know, we don't want one that's as thin as a garbage bag. We want a real serious thing. So I'm being a lot more careful. And also, as you say, color, I want brown or the very, very darkest green.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wonder if we can find a waxed canvas or something. I'm going to look into that.
Okay, so you're in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
but 5 mils is not thick, folks.
No.
So, and that's what a lot of the junky blue ones are.
It's thick for a garbage bag.
Yes, but it's not thick for a tarp, and a lot of them are like that, and they're bad news. But it is one of my favorite tools, if we can call it a tool, because I can move quite an amount of debris and, you know, just dragging it myself and it's over to the compost heap. So it's pretty efficient. You know, I can kind of pull it around with me through the day and then have a big batch of stuff to go into the heap. So I like the tarp. It's sort of the non-wheelbarrow. So speaking of which, right, are you a wheelbarrow or a cart person?
I'm a hybrid.
What does that mean?
I kind of like a wheelbarrow with two wheels in the front.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, for stability.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you don't have to worry about it tipping left and right. And I know plastic is horrible, but the steel ones weigh a ton.
Right.
And we've got a lot of up and down hilly things here. So I recently got a wheelbarrow, if you can call it that. It's a wheelbarrow with two wheels in the front. And I kind of like it, but I have a wooden cart that I use all the time for the bigger stuff, and the wheelbarrows. Mm-hmm. And they're inexpensive too.
Yeah, I have both. Plus, I have a smart cart. One of the carts that's on a tubular aluminum frame, and the what do we call the bed, the bucket, the what do we call the part of a cart or a wheelbarrow, the dish part. you know what I mean? That comes off this one. Uh-huh. It just lifts off. It's like a giant dish pan, you know, and it lifts off. It's made of, I don't know what, but kind of like that corrugated roofing material. What do you call that? Fiberglass maybe or something like that. And what's great about it is that you can use that like as a soil mixing vessel, or and you can take it off and like clean it if you want to really easily. It doesn't rust or anything because it's not made of metal. It's very lightweight but very sturdy. What I basically do is I use it as kind of a mobile potting bench, and I move it around, you know, in the springtime when I want to like have soil ready to go into my pots and pot things up and repot house plants. You know, I kind of use it as my potting bench on wheels.
Are you going to put links on the website?
Yeah, Smart Cart, SmartCart. I think they're made in Vermont, for, I believe. Smart Cart, yeah. And they come in different sizes. And they have kind of bicycle tires. So it really gets around even on my hilly site. And it's very, very light, obviously not when it's loaded down with stuff. But I use it for moving large amounts of things around also. So anyway, it's but I still love my little red wheelbarrow, my old-fashioned, you know, one wheel that I keep repairing and repairing and repairing because I'm very attached to it, you know?
And then we have to store them.
Yeah, my garage is looking a little crazy at the moment.
I'm sure.
So what was next on your list?
Well, we're still talking about cleanup a little bit. And I have to say, I love the old Boss bags. Do you have Boss bags?
Is that like BOSMERE? I think Bosmere.
Bosmere is the company, right?
Yeah. I do. I didn't know you use those too.
I like the ones that they're square when they're open. And the thing that's so great about them, they fold sort of like an umbrella, not exactly, but they fold into a wedge. You can pack to stack them up. And you take this thing and you toss it onto the ground and it sets itself up in a square.
Right.
And I they have two handles. And I like those mostly because you can store them or carry them wherever you need them and they don't weigh anything. So I use that for debris when I'm not using the tarp. You know, if I have just leaves or weeds, well, weeds mostly. And then just carry it to the compost and it's great.
Yeah, I mean, basically, when I go out to garden, she says longingly, thinking that it will be months before she gets to do it again. but when I go out to garden, you know, I don't have a lot of gadgets and nonsense, gimmicky things with me. I've got some kind of clippers. I've got, if I think I'm going to be doing some digging, I may have a shovel with me. I only have two. I have a plain old long-handled, and I have a kind of a border spade, you know, a shorter-handled D-grip handle, kind of shorter, small head. And I have some kind of carrying device, like we're talking about, you know, whether it's the tarp, whether it's I've always usually got a bag with me of some kind. And I love the Bosmere ones. I use the cylindrical ones, the biggest of all of them. It's not too tall, but it's very wide. And they have this like, in the square ones, do they have that kind of, they give you a piece of plastic wire?
Band.
Yeah, and you're supposed to thread it through the lip of the thing, the top seam. Mm-hmm.
Right, the square ones don't have that. They have spines or like an umbrella, just four in each corner. The thing about the band, I have one of those. I threaded the band, which was very hard, actually.
Yes.
And then how do you store it? So what's your solution to that?
Well, see, I don't use the band. That's what I was just going to say.
That's a solution.
After trying to get the thing through the, you know, it's kind of like if the elastic, if the tie in the waistband of your gym pants or your, you know, your the waist comes out like out of the little, what do you call that? It's a seam. It's not a seam. It's, you know, you, but anyway, if you have a pair of stretchy pants and they have a, yeah. And they have like a,
and for your hoodie.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes out, one end comes out and you're like, oh, how do I get this back in? You know, it's a real pain in the neck. And, yeah, so I kind of got frustrated. Plus, the one that I did manage to get the support into the top seam there, I didn't like how it stood up all the time. And so I just kind of have them floppy, which is fine for me. The other thing is that so whatever shape or size is right for you, those Bosmere bags I think are really good. I think we're agreeing. I also bought, this is going to sound nutty, but do you know those grow bags that wholesale nurseries grow shrubs and stuff in? They're like made out of recycled plastic. They look like felt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they sell them in nurseries nowadays. So, you know, if you don't want to put things in a plastic pot, you can use them. But the really big ones, and I forget if it's 30 gallons or what the size is, but the biggest ones I was able to get at A.M. Leonard, like a 10 pack. And they have handles. They have big ones with handles. They're just sort of gray. As I said, it's almost like felt, but it's recycled. And it's like, for $50, you get 10 of them. And I have them all over the place, like in every shed and, you know, here and there. And I've always got one with me. And it's not quite as big as the bag we're talking about, the tip bag from Bosmere. But it's a great little thing to have. And I use them for everything. And then in the winter, I store my canna tubers in them in the cellar. I put my canna tubers, then I can carry them down the stairs into the cellar, you know, holding the handles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've never seen ones that big.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So A.M. Leonard, they call them root pouches, and they're degradable eventually, but using them the way I'm saying to use them, they wouldn't degrade because you're not putting soil in them, you know, 365 days a year and setting them on the ground. Yeah, I love them. And I've had them for about 10 years, honestly.
We're talking about tools and everything, but it's holiday season. Can you imagine giving that to someone? Well, maybe. I think gardeners do appreciate useful things,
no
matter what they look like. Just slap a bow on it, right?
As long as it's not a blue tarp.
As long as it's not a blue tarp. So
yeah.
I find myself halfway through the garden and wishing I had remembered all the things you just said, and because I should never go in the garden without pruners.
Right.
But what if you were giving pruners as a gift to a gardener? You know, something, they already have a Felco, probably. I like the number two, but we don't have to get into that. So what pruners would you give as sort of an extra kind of pruner?
I've totally shifted away from my Felcos, which lie unloved and unused these days after many years, you know, of use and replacing the blades and all that kind of good stuff regularly. And I use little what are meant for working in a grape vine, you know, on grapevines or other fine pruning of fruit. They're sort of a needle nose snip stainless steel by the company called ARS.
Hmm.
And in fact, all my pruning gear, this is the one thing that I actually spend a little money on, is the more sophisticated pruning gear. These snips that I'm talking about, the needle nosed fruit snips from ARS, they might be $20-ish or $23 or something like that. They're not expensive. But it's small in the hand. It's light on the hand. It doesn't exhaust my hand. It's not a big thing to grip, and it's not heavy at all. And it does most everything I need to do most days, unless I'm doing heavy work. And then I have from ARS also all the more sophisticated pruning things like long reach pruners, telescoping pruner, you know, telescoping saw, you know, the things that are arborist supply kind of things.
Well, on those pruners, what's about the thickest thing you can cut? Can you cut something as thick as a pencil?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to look into that. You're making me think of one of my favorite things, under $25. Do you know the Corona Quick Saw, the 7-inch folding saw?
No, I have a lot of folding saws, but it's funny that you say that because I've been wondering, mine are kind of vintage at this point, and a couple of them need, and that's another thing I have in each bag in different places, a couple of them need, or I need some new ones, and I didn't know what brand is good. So what's it called? Corona?
The Corona Quick Saw, it comes 7-inch and it comes 13-inch. I love my 7-inch.
Yeah.
And it's under $25 and you can buy replacement blades, which cost almost the same as the whole saw, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And the Felco small folding saw is really nice too, which is a little bit bigger. But that Corona Quick Saw, I don't know how they figured it out. That blade is so sharp. And 7 inches, can you picture it? It's really small. But you can get through a 3 or 4 inch branch easily.
Well, and I feel like rather than over efforting with just your one hand, using the saw on the larger things and the little snips on the smaller things, you know, it's better for me right now. It's a better combination. So I love the saw for, you know, if I have 20 water sprouts on a branch of a fruit tree,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? The saw, boom, 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 you just get them. Right? It's easy. It's not like a big gripping motion 20 times with a larger pruner. So, all right, Corona, I wrote that down, Quick Saw.
Okay.
So those are some of our pruning things. So what else is on the list?
I just had to buy my third folding rake. Do you know the rakes that fold up?
So the head folds up, it gets small.
The tines get really narrow.
So like an umbrella would collapse into a narrow thing.
Right.
Ahead of the rake.
Which is great because I can get something in a tiny space if I have to, or I can rake leaves. And the first one I got, I think, over 40 years ago. And you slip this thing up and down to make it wide or narrow. And it used to, the first one had just a wing nut, which finally rusted this year after like 40 something years.
Oh.
Then I got one with a little fiberglass clamp that snapped off this year. It's probably almost 10. It was probably 10 years old. And I mm-hmm. think it looked like it was a UV kind of, you know, disintegration. But I just got a new one that has a metal clamp with a kind of plastic covering on the handle. And it's really sturdy. And they've improved it so much. The tines, instead of being just pieces of metal that are sharp and round, they flattened them at the end. This is really an improvement. So I love my folding saws. Folding rakes. And it's my go-to rake for almost everything.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, rakes is a kind of a sore point for me because I was a bamboo rake person all through my gardening career until the last 5, 6, 7, I don't know, around that number of years when the decent bamboo rake kind of went extinct. And I've written about this and people are probably sick of hearing me say it, but you know, like Meguiar, for instance, made great bamboo rakes and they had a strong point of attachment where the parts of the sort of fan arrangement, you know, were attached to the handle. And then over the years, you know, stuff's just gotten junkier and junkier. So, you know, you can rake for about 5 minutes with the current bamboo rake. Mm. And I don't even want to talk about those plastic rakes with the one piece head, which are just grotesque. I hate them. And they have, you know, a handle that's the wrong thickness to be comfortable in the hand. Terrible, terrible. But so finally I found this thing, I don't know, 5 years ago or so, Yard Butler made this rake. And already apparently it's gone. It wasn't bamboo, it was metal. And already, you know, now I see like, you know, for some outrageous price, a couple people have them and you can find it on like Amazon or somewhere from some vendor, but it's apparently no longer in production. So it just seems like every rake I come across, so I'm going to have to try one of the ones you have. Maybe for the transcript of the show, you'll look on the handle and see if it has a brand or something and we can recommend to people.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause that's, you know, you just talked about three like different methods of attachment and which ones are good and the difference in the tines and so forth. So it'd be good to know which one it is.
So you're listing some pet peeves here.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
that
yeah.
makes me think of all the hoses I've bought over the years that I don't use. Like those, oh gosh, those ridiculous ones that are supposed to fold up. People love them and they never work for me.
Oh, they're horrible.
I end up with the best Melnor because they don't kink, but who wants that color?
Well,
I mean,
plus
it's
it
not
weighs,
like you loot. Yeah, sorry.
No, but plus it weighs too much. You know, I need like, I have 300, 3 100 footers, probably 4 or 5 50 footers. and four or five 25 footers, you know, to have all around the place in different positions where there are hose bibs. And, you know, carrying a 100 footer of what you're talking about, a conventional hose, forget about it. So I have two words for you, water right. Family business out in the Pacific Northwest, lovely people, drinking water safe, super lightweight. I mean, I think the 50 foot version of a water right hose is 3 pounds. The 100 footer is 8 pounds. Huh. I mean, it looks narrow. They're beautiful looking.
And they don't kink?
I've had them since forever. I mean, since they were invented. And I love them. No, I find them to be great. And I can maneuver around with them. I don't knock shrubs over with, you know what I mean? They're not just so big and intrusive. So anyway, water right is my favorite. People have heard me talk about that before.
Oh boy.
So I don't know if we want, I mean, I know we have a couple other things to like throw out, but I want to have at least a couple minutes at the end for some resolution. So any other quickies to just add on to the list?
Oh my gosh. Okay. No Christmas sweater. Check.
No.
You know, we talked about a lot of things today that are under $25, which I think is great. And pruners and saws. I think we've covered it. We're going to think of it after.
All right. Because one thing is that I remember you told me a story that you dropped your cell phone in the canal.
That's true.
And I recently almost lost mine I have like a little pouch on my tractor. And it came flying out, and it was almost the end of it. And do you have any solution for that? Because this is a safety thing, especially for those of us gardening alone.
So I have shirts that have, I don't know what they're called, plackets or something that you can.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got a new, I had those, but it takes too long to button and button. So I glued Velcro on my pockets so they would stay closed. And then I got a new phone, and it's too big to use the Velcro, which are glued to my shirts. So I got a kind of armband quick release thing.
Yeah.
And I have to say it's great and also inexpensive. So it goes on your arm like a armband.
Yeah.
It doesn't squeeze it too much and it's not heavy and you don't think about it. And then your phone just snaps right on it. And if you need your phone, you just grab it and you sort of push this little button and it releases.
All right. You're going to get us for the transcript. You're going to get us the brand of that too.
Yeah. Because I looked into a lot of them.
So we have like 2 minutes and we haven't even talked about our resolutions. And I'm going to say mine really quickly.
Go ahead.
It's really simple. And I bet it applies to a lot of people who have been gardening in the same spot. A lot of plants I planted at the beginning as ground covers, quote unquote, turned out to be horrible thugs and invasives. And now I have miles of them, or at least hundreds of square feet. And I made a decision, and I actually started on it this fall, and I'm going to continue in the spring, not to get overwhelmed anymore, but to say one bed at a time. And that's my resolution, one bed at a time. And I systematically picked one bed and removed it all this fall of this particular, it was Lamiastrum, and removed it all. And I'm going to be ready now for springtime to plant some great native ground covers, native shade plants in that area. And so one bed at a time is my resolution. How about you for in our last minute or so?
Well, that sounds really good. And I'm glad you added that extra part, because I think you should remove those invasive ones.
Yes.
You know, they're ground covers, so they cover the ground. But you don't want to leave bare ground, and I don't want to have chopped wood on the ground. So plants is still the answer, of course, but it's, again, the right plant.
Yes.
Because I know you have a wonderful planting of big root geranium, and weeds don't come up through that.
Correct.
And it's so much better to mulch with living things than non-living things, but you know, with the Lamiastrum and Lamium too.
Yes.
Before you know it, you turn your back and the beautiful silver Lamium you bought is now magenta flowers and not so beautiful, and there's too much of it.
So we can agree that that's a good resolution for both of us now that we're out of time.
Oh, Well, it's great. Oh. That went so fast.
I know.
It's great to speak with you. Good.
It's good to speak with you. And we'll talk in the beginning of the new year for our January show. We'll do a serious, like, point-by-point resolution. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, Ken?
Yes. Wonderful.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
And I hope I'll talk to all of you again soon. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.